This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And off we go into the second half of the radio program. The Rob Brown Show is live. Yes, indeed, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, just a couple of fellas hanging out doing fella stuff, talking sports with you, the four most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment available anywhere, and it only gets bigger and better as we get on the road and take a metaphorical road trip right on down to Columbia, South Carolina. That is where we find our next guest, the lovely young lady who covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. She is Lulu Kessin joining us here on the show. Good morning, ma'am. How do you do?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys? Nice to be here as always.
Nice to have you as always, Lulu Kessin, the single most polite guest I have ever had on this radio show, I will mention. Thank you very much. Let's get into it, and we can start with, as we do, because it is the off season. It is kind of downtimey, Lulu Kessin, but I know the finger always on the pulse of the South Carolina football team. You got anything that people need to know?
Well, this isn't specific to South Carolina, but it's something that sort of a bunch of people in the college sports world or college football world are kind of discussing, is just they can't, like, people in schools canceling spring games or not televising them. And I want to make it clear, this is not South Carolina. I'm just speaking from a general standpoint here, but it just is definitely something that I'm kind of going back and forth about. And I was honestly curious your opinion, because part of me is like, it's spring game is a glorified scrimmage anyways. But the other half of me is, if coaches are really doing it because they're afraid that other teams are going to poach players and offer them more NIL money, I'm kind of just like, man, like, what are we doing here if coaches feel like they don't even have control of a glorified spring scrimmage?
You know what? It's an interesting question. It's actually something I had in line to talk about it. So I'm glad you brought it up, Lulu Kessin. Here's my thoughts on it. It is a glorified scrimmage, and it is honestly nothing more than fan service, right? Like, this is something that could be done behind closed doors in a session that media is not allowed into, and they could run the script, blah, 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 blah. Spring games have historically been a way to give fans a little tasty taste in the spring to kind of keep them hyped up for next time around, because when you send the boys out there to play each other and you're in control of everything, you can make them look real good. And I do think there is probably some element of coaches wanting to keep other teams from looking, not just because they'll offer them NIL money, but also because you're kind of showing off who your team is next year, right? Like, you can't take anybody by surprise if you've already put the plan, the blueprint out there on TV. I think honestly, this is a fantastic way for coaches to not do something that has always been for the benefit of the fans, to not do something that has always been a tip of the cap to the fans, and to blame it on something that doesn't make it seem like, yeah, it's for you, our fan base, but we just really don't want to do it. You have created this nefarious boogeyman that you can blame canceling a fan event on so the fans don't go, oh, I can't believe you're taking away this thing from us. Now somebody else is the bad man. Creating a boogeyman is a very effective way of doing stuff that is outside the interest of the group you are supposed to have interest in, Lulu Kessin, which is why I think, frankly, right across the road, and Shane may be in the same camp, you may know better than I do, but like Dabo Swinney earlier this week was like, yeah, we're not doing that. Like, we're not getting rid of it. I think just on the flip side, that's a like tip of the cap to the fans. This is for you. We're doing the thing for you. I think it's a boogeyman for other coaches to be able to say, we could do all this behind closed doors. We don't want to put our blueprint out there on tape, but it's not because we don't love you fans. It's because the bad guys are out there.
Yeah. And just to speak to South Carolina quickly, like from my understanding, like there's still a spring game. We have a date. It's not anything specific to the program that has made me kind of question any of this, but I hear what you're saying entirely and I agree. And it's definitely a way, I think, for some coaches to play on the paranoia of college football fans in 2025, because there's certainly fans that would do anything because they're so worried about star players leaving for other schools.
Without a doubt. And listen, I'm not saying that that's not a genuine, legitimate concern. It very clearly is. But I would also make the argument that the less tape you put out there, obviously it doesn't help that. But again, if Shane Beamer goes out there and he puts a couple of things in there to let Nick Harbor go out and look like a star to rouse up the fan base, there's also other defensive coordinators across the SEC that are watching that spring game tape and going, uh-oh, we better focus on this guy a little bit. I've said this for many years, even before this was a conversation, Lulu. There's no benefit to spring games being public for the schools other than giving their fans a little red meat to be excited about before we enter the long winter, summer hibernation period.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree with what you're saying.
Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right, we've got some basketball to pay attention to here, Lulu Kessin. We will start with the fact that the Gamecocks, after their loss to UConn a couple of weeks ago, they kind of figured it out a little bit. And obviously, we know that it's college basketball. Weirdness can happen. Since that loss to UConn, a 40-point win over Arkansas, what should have been a 30-point win on the road at Vanderbilt, back-to-back blowouts, now a couple left. On the road at Ole Miss tonight, back home for Kentucky on the 2nd. Which is your overall view on this basketball team since they took that beating at the hands of the Huskies?
It's very similar to sort of how they played, I think, after the UCLA loss, which was another sort of big, big bad loss in November. I honestly think it had been so long since South Carolina almost won. And I think that's sort of why when they lost to Texas, they lost so soon after to UConn. And I just think it didn't register in the same way that, you know, the UConn loss and UCLA loss did. So in the last two games, I've just seen a more, I think, confident South Carolina offense. A huge part against UConn was that no one really looked. No one wanted to be the first one to attack the basket. Everyone was very passive on offense. So I think as of late, I'm just seeing a very aggressive offense and a team that is kind of creating its own shots and not just sitting back and waiting to see what the defense gives it.
I don't disagree with you at all. And I think the aggression was something that the last two teams to come through this school very much had, and I did not see it. I'll tell you another spot, and I think this is a spot that manifests. Having Joyce Edwards and having Malaysia Fulwiley coming off the bench at both of these girls taking advantage of the minutes they're getting. For Wiley had, what I think, just about 20 minutes in both of the last two games. Edwards getting 19 to 24 in both of the last two games. But they have been the leading scorer for this team coming off the bench the last couple of games. Having those two young ladies that are able to step in a second team role and play like first teamers, I think kind of relieve the pressure on Chloe Kitts and Bree Hall and some of the other starters to kind of free them up a little bit as first team players.
Definitely. And I think that everybody on this team is still almost figuring out their role. And I know that might be alarming to some fans who are like, how can they not know their identity on this team by the last week of the regular season? But when you think about it, when you have the when you look at the programs and the program and the teams that Dawn has had in the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a very clear leader, or leaders, I should say. Whereas Dawn has been very forward that, for example, Saniya Fagan this year, it took a second for her to realize, okay, I'm not just on the bench behind two of the greatest forwards to ever come through the program. Like, I'm starting now. And Saniya's adjusting to that. You have the oldest player in Tahina Paupau, who's only been here for 2 years because she transferred. So naturally, I think not having that number one, and again, like, I'm not saying leader in any sense of better than anyone else basketball-wise. I just mean obvious person who, when Dawn doesn't call a timeout, they're going to be the one that talks things over on the court and brings everyone together. I think Dawn right now has about 4 or 5 players that almost do that. And so especially after a loss, it's sort of very obvious. But when you're winning, it's kind of like, oh, we have nothing to fix, or, oh, this isn't an issue. But when you lose, it definitely highlights maybe some gaps. And I don't want to put words in Dawn's mouth at all, but she did say last year they had blemishes. They just had different types of blemishes than they're having this year. And I think potentially just not having that one or two sole, you know, on the court voices that everybody looks up to might just be something that in these losses, Dawn's like, all right, this is different.
Yeah, I think when you look back and you talk about the Asia Wilsons and you talk about the Aaliyah Bostons and you talk about some of these players that have gone on to become WNBA greats and they were clearly that vocal leader, I worried about that coming into the year because you don't really have that one player. Basketball is an interesting team sport to me, Lulu Kesson, and I don't know how you feel. This is more of a philosophy of basketball questions. I think teams are better when they have a superstar, when they have that one guy. LeBron with the Lakers, Luka with the Mavs, obviously with the Lakers now, Anthony Edwards with the Timberwolves if we're looking on the pro side, Caitlin Clark with the Fever if we're looking at the women's side, Asia Wilson. These, when you have that one player that you go, this is the core, this is the leader, this is the star, and everybody else around them kind of understands that, I think it's easier to find a role when you don't have that one player. I feel like maybe it adds some pressure to other players. This is the first year in a while that South Carolina doesn't have that clear, this is the person we play to and through. Everybody's kind of got to pick up that responsibility. I wonder if maybe that is the source of the, I don't want to say lack of identity this program, but the delay in finding it maybe.
That's a great point. And I definitely think, especially on offense, I do buy into the idea that Dawn says it's a strength that teams have to scout for basically all 13 players on her team. Like, I do believe basically having one or two, or I guess in the beginning of the year especially, it did really feel like it could be anyone's night. That was kind of like, you would talk to Tahina Paupau after she had 23 points and she was just like, I had the hot hand tonight. It could be any of us. I, you know, my teammates fed me the ball. You know, there's strength to that. But exactly to your point, I think that it's also contagious when you see your teammate heating up and when you're looking at your teammate being like, all right, I want to feed off of them. So when you kind of have a bunch of players that aren't really sure, like, okay, who's it going to be tonight? You get that maybe passive, confused energy. Because it's great that it could be anyone, but at the same time, before tip-off, you also kind of want to know, who you're able to kind of work with, build off of, build that contagious energy. You know, like you said, there's not the Juju Watkins on the court that's going to come out and drop 40 almost on the regular.
We are watching it now with just a few, actually two games left to go. As we mentioned, tonight on the road at Ole Miss, then back home on March 2nd against number 15 Kentucky as a season finale. The Gamecocks heavily favored in this one this evening. What do you, Lulu Kessin, want to see out of Dawn Staley's Gamecocks tonight for a team that is currently tied for first place in the Southeastern Conference with Texas? What would you want to see tonight before they have their final ranked matchup of the year on the 2nd against Kentucky to make you feel like they are building momentum in the right direction, moving towards the conference tournament here in Greenville?
So that's funny because, like, we asked Don that yesterday, and Don's like, I just want to win. I don't care if it's an ugly win. Like, it's just about winning. And I was like, I respect your honesty there because it's true. Like, they need to go 2-0 this week. But to actually answer your question, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but obviously offensively a little cleaner from the starters specifically. I do think that the trend is, you know, Joyce, Malaysia come in the game and the offense picks up, and I'm just sort of being nitpicky about that because come tournament time, you never know who's going to be on in foul trouble and going to be on the court. And so if South Carolina starters can't prove that they can, you know, just continuously play at the level they have this season, like how they did against Texas round one or Oklahoma. But I also think another area's transition defense, a lot of those UConn threes were in transition, and South Carolina is just going to play a bunch of different teams in the SEC tournament. And then obviously if they're fortunate and make a long run in the March Madness tournament, like, you're going to face teams of all different speeds and sizes. So just being able to defend in transition is going to be huge. And Ole Miss is a confusing team. They're really, really strong on defense, but basically can't score. So it's going to be a little bit tricky to see South Carolina's, you know, offense right out the start because Ole Miss holds teams to the second lowest scoring in the SEC right behind Texas. But at the same time, South Carolina doesn't have it, you know, only has two chances left to before the SEC tournament to improve what's been some slow offensive starts.
Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Athletic Department for the Greenville News and is kind enough to join us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock to talk some Gamecock ball. Lulu Kessin knows ball. And as always, we appreciate it. You are the best, ma'am. Thank you very much. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you next week as we roll on towards the tournaments.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to go back and clip just the part of when you said Lulu Kessin knows ball because I love saying that because I do think I know basketball, but now I have someone else told me that. So I'll clip that. But thank you. Have a good rest of your weekend.
I can't pay a higher compliment than to say you know ball and you know ball. Thank you, Lulu Kessin. We'll talk to you next week. Lulu Kessin on X, LuLuKessin. Phenomenal follow if you are a Gamecock fan, without a doubt.
You just bestowed knower of ball. You just don't do that. That is a great honor.
She knows ball. What do you want me to say?
It doesn't happen very often that is bestowed on anyone. So, I mean.
I don't hand out a you-know-ball cap very often because it is earned, not given. You don't just get handed a you-know-ball tag. You gotta prove you-know-ball. And Lulu Kessin knows ball, without a doubt. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Got plenty more we need to get to, including some more NFL free agency talk. Adam Schefter has had some things to say over the last couple of days. Mel Kiper with his draft rankings have dropped. We'll talk some NFL. I thought the conversation about spring games being canceled by a lot of programs that Lulu Kessin brought up, I think we probably need to get into that too. And I think that we will as we roll on. Rob Brown, the great Alonzo, and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Lulu Keston of the Greenville News joining us in the last segment. Appreciate her time as always. And on top of that, as happens, Lulu said, hey, I got a question for you. Talking about the cancellation of spring games across the college football landscape. Here are some of the teams that we know that have canceled their spring games for this season. Texas, Steve Sarkisian, said that the physical demands of extended seasons and the need to adapt to changes in college football are the reasons he's canceling their spring game. The USC Trojans have canceled their game. They have said instead they are going to hold a fan appreciation event that will include current and former players. Matt Rhule and the Nebraska Cornhuskers, they were actually the first ones, or at least the first major program, that announced that they were canceling their spring game. Matt Rhule was the one who said, hey, look, we don't want to showcase our players, only to have other schools start to jump up and grab them with NIL incentives and put them in the portal early. Florida State has canceled their spring game. They blamed it on ongoing stadium construction. The Mizzou Tigers have not only canceled their spring game, but Eli Drinkwitz and co. have said that they are canceling all spring practice sessions being open to the public. They will obviously practice in the spring, but you will see none of them if you are a fan. Dave Doran has decided with two new coordinators that he is canceling their spring game and will keep all practice details private. There are some other schools that are in the process of having the discussion. Texas and Texas A&M, both Houston as well. Here's where I've kind of landed on this scenario. I get it. And I think I think everything that has been mentioned as a reason is very valid. But here's what it boils down to for me. The spring games are nothing more than a tip of the cap to the fans. It is an opportunity for the school and for the businesses around the stadiums to make a little extra cash money. They get to sell some tickets. They get to bring you in to buy some t-shirts and some cold beers and tailgate and hit the watering holes around the stadium, etc., etc., etc. But spring games are nothing more than a tip of the cap to your fan base. And it is obviously important to keep your fan base happy. But the fan base is not, as it was a very, very long time ago in the world of college footy, unless you are a small school, for the big schools, Texas, Georgia, Florida State, etc., etc. The fan base isn't your primary money maker anymore. Television is. A spring game, in reality, does little to nothing to help a program. It doesn't drive your program forward. At least, not any more than doing the exact same thing, but keeping it completely closed to the media and to the fans would. It is, if anything, shocking to me only that it took this long for schools to start saying there's no point to a spring game. Do I think that Matt Rhule is telling the truth when he says we don't want to display or highlight our players because other schools are going to be watching and they're going to make the call? I think there's probably some element of truth to that. I also believe when Florida State says it's because of construction. It is. Docus Campbell Stadium is adding 100-some-odd luxury seats. It's only costing them like 5,000 regular people seats because keeping the rich boosters happy is more important than keeping your everyday fans happy.
Keep that NIL money flowing.
Bing, gotta keep, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you right now, if a football team believed that they could get rid of every Joe Blow seat and install mega booster seats everywhere around the stadium and sell every one of those for 10 grand a season instead of a $3,000 season ticket, they would do it in a heartbeat. College football is just a business like any other business. So the spring games going away is unsurprising. Do I think that all of these coaches have a point, are correct? To some degree, yeah. I also do think that Matt Rhule, for instance, may very well have a point, but also, I think coaches just don't want to do them. And again, why would you? Why would you? Why would you want to put your best players on display unnecessarily, even if, forget the NIL and the portal, you're just giving away your secret weapons, right? You're just giving away who your guys are. You're just giving away who your athletes are. Even if you mix up the squad a little bit, teams are going to get a pretty good idea of like, oh, that guy had a killer spring game. We might want to have to game plan for him a little bit. You're giving the secrets away unnecessarily. And so when I am evaluating these teams that have decided to cancel their spring game, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. Yeah, sure, it's going to make my job a little tougher because it was always nice to be able to come in here the week after spring games and go, okay, you know, we watched the spring game and this guy looked good and that guy looked good and this coordinator was doing this and we saw some new, strategies and tactics and all that. Was great for me as a host. It's great for you as fans to get to go eyeballs on, but it doesn't really help the team all that much. And if it did help the team, they could do the exact same thing, get the exact same results, and not show a damn person what they were doing by moving it behind closed doors. All this comes down to is coaches are finding excuses or boogeymen to prop up so that they don't have to do a thing that they never wanted to do in the first place and not say, yeah, we know the fans love these and we know they've been a tradition in college football for a long time, but we just don't want to do it anyway.
Rob, the anti-traditionalist, he just absolutely hates tradition. So he's okay with tradition going away. He's all for these games going bye-bye. And there are people out there who cannot wait every year to go to the spring game so they can get an eye on the product to see what their team's going to do, because it's a legitimate way to scout how your team's going to be the following year or that same year.
It's like you didn't. It's like you don't listen to anything I say.
I am being sarcastic. Here's a problem.
Okay, just making
sure.
Here's
a problem with you standing up. You cannot see my face unless you're looking at the screen, and you don't really do that.
I do, but you're real.
Yeah. I'm just. I have no problem with them getting rid of spring games because they're not even real scrimmages. They're glorified scrimmages.
Yeah.
They're using generic plays. Yeah, the guys get to hit each other, but you can't hit the quarterback. I mean, there's just it's just not, you know, in practice, quarterback gets hit some.
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, things happen. They will not happen in the spring game, though, or you might be off the team. It's just, I don't care. And I know there are people out there who really, really do care. And I think the teams that keep it around, cool. The teams that don't, good for them.
Yeah. It comes down to this. Spring games are a fan event. They're for you. They're for the fans. They don't do anything for the football program. They don't help. They don't push anything forward. And if they did, you could do them behind closed doors and not give away a secret.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of when the Panthers were here before Stinkin' Tepper took them away from South Carolina, which means they're no longer two teams. I mean, two states, one team. And going and seeing that. It's basically the same thing. It's a fan fest. Spring games are fan fest.
Sure. They are fan fest. They are for you. They are for the fans. But what these coaches are realizing is, ain't none of y'all walking away from your favorite college football team because they're not having a spring game. But they also don't want to say, you know what, even though we know it matters to you, even though we know you care about these things, even though we know you love these things, they're bad. And we're not going to do them. If they just put it out that way, it would almost sound like they don't care about the fans. So what do you have to do? You got to blame someone or something else. You got to create a boogeyman and say, oh, not only do we not want to do them, we can't do them because of this bad thing, and we can't do them because of these bad things.
By the way, you
so
can't.
So be mad at the bad thing, not me.
You can't say that those things are not a possibility as far as Sky and
I've already
and
said
things like that.
They absolutely are.
I'm curious. Do people tailgate spring games?
I have, back in the day.
So maybe it's a chance to put out the new gear that you're going to have this year and test it out, see what works, see what doesn't.
For instance, USC... as I said back to open up this segment, USC has already said, we're going to do a fan appreciation event in the summertime, and we're going to have our current players come out, and we're going to have some former players come out, and we're going to do a big partay. All of the things that a spring game accomplishes, you can accomplish in different ways. You can put out selected practice media for your fans to be engaged in. You can create fan events to sell the merch. You can bring out old players. Could you imagine a Clemson, instead of a Clemson spring game, if they had a Clemson fan appreciation day? And instead of going into that stadium when it's hotter than Hades undersides out there and sitting in that stadium to watch a glorified scrimmage where you know they're showing you 8% of what they're going to do, instead, let's go down to the stadium. The whole current team's going to be there. We're going to bring back Nuke, and we're going to bring back TL16, and we're going to bring back all the Clemson Tigers in the NFL, and we're going to bring back some legends, and we're going to have Dabo and CJ out
not
there.
Not Deshaun, though.
Probably not Deshaun. But everybody else. Right? And you can get autographs and take pictures. I would be more excited about that than a spring game if we're keeping it a buck, right? So get away from this old traditional thing that is not just doesn't help the team, but actually can be a negative for the team. But you don't want to say we're doing it because it doesn't matter to us, even though you love it. So you create the external boogeyman to blame it on somebody and something else, and then you do something that doesn't hurt your team. I don't care. Is what this whole segment comes down to, is I don't care. You know what I do care about? Talking Carolina Panther football with Rashad Beard when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob the Great One Lonzo, and joining us now, as he does on Thursdays at 8:40 a.m. to talk Carolina Panther football. He is the host of the Panther Nation podcast. If you're a Big Cat fan, it's the spot to go for all your Carolina news talk and opinions. The legendary Rashad Beard joining us on the show. What's up, big dog?
What's going on, guys? Feeling good, man. Everything's great over here.
I'm glad to hear it. Abdul Carter, if he falls to 5, trade up for him, yes or no?
Trade up. I don't know about trade up.
Not 1-2, but like if he falls to 5 with this injury, like you move up 3 spots, I'd give away a couple of late picks for it.
I strongly consider it. I mean, he's talented for sure, and I'm seeing the red flag. I had to put out an alert to teams. Please don't draft him in numbers. Top 7, not worth it. So just leave him alone. Let him fall to 8, and I think we would definitely take him. I don't know about trading up, but yeah, I think there's going to be some good talent there at number 8 for sure.
What if somebody 6, 7, maybe somebody sitting around there, and they're kind of like you guys, like we want to take the Eagles model, we want to stock up, we want to get a bunch of linemen, build from the middle out, yada yada yada. We're willing to move back because we don't need a D lineman, and we'll take 2/6 to move up 2 spots. Come on, dude, you're in. This guy's a stud.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. It's going to take a little bit more than that, but yeah, if it's 2-6, I would definitely do that in a heartbeat. But yeah, I think it's going to cost a little bit more than that.
All right, Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Do you think that strategy is one Carolina adapts? Like I've said a couple of times, the Eagle strategy, like the Eagle philosophy, I'm taking it now. We're done with the Belichick model. We're all moving to the Sirianni model, the Howie Roseman model. And I've said a couple of times, I don't think there's a team this year in the NFL draft that would benefit more from, and more importantly, is more capable, because you guys need O-L-N-D linemen on both sides of the football right now. I don't think there's a team that can more successfully adopt that model than the Carolina Panthers. What is the overall draft strategy for the boys this year?
Man, I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of needs. Like, there's not one need. That's the thing about this team and the way it's set up. We got a lot of needs. So we can take what comes to us. There's no need for us to reach and go grab somebody. You could check a lot of boxes. All across this draft, this is a very strong defensive draft. So this draft is very strong in places that we are weak. So you got to be patient. Just be patient. If we don't grab an edge rusher in the first round, don't panic. There's plenty of edge rushers in the second or third round. If we don't grab a cornerback in the first round, don't panic. There's going to be a cornerback later. So just sit back, take what's coming to you, And there's going to be some talent that falls. You just like you brought up this morning, Abdul Carter with his injury, when whatever's going to happen with that. What's going to happen is he's likely going to fall to a team like the Eagles or the Chiefs, and the rich will continue to get richer because that's what happens, right? They're sitting back and they're being patient. They're not going to go grab and trade up. Just sit back and be patient. Let's see what happens.
So if I asked you to lay out your draft philosophy, right? If it's hey, just defense, if it's linemen or whatever, if I asked you to kind of like describe the draft philosophy coming into this thing this year, what would you say it is?
BPA. I know it's easy to say it, but just take the best player available according to your board. Obviously, every board is going to look different, but you got to take BPA, man. Just be patient. Be patient. Take the best player on your board and just stack talent. If you can trade back, acquire more picks. But, you know, if there's multiple guys that you're looking at and they're sitting there and you could trade back a couple of spots and still get a guy, then let's trade back. And we've seen that over the past couple of years with the Panthers, albeit it's not quite working out the best with some of the guys that we're picking up. But I do like that approach because we need more opportunities at bat. You need to get as many picks as possible so that you can stack this talent. And again, we don't have a lot of guys to re-sign. Obviously, J.C. Horn extension talks are coming up. But the more guys you can get on a rookie deal, the better. And you start to develop them. Like you just mentioned with the Eagles, they have a lot of talent on defense that is starting early, right? And because they're playing on rookie deals, it just makes sense. So, again, draft more cracks at the whip, get more opportunities, trade back if you can, and just be patient, BPA. Very simple.
So my thought on the debate we have every year, Rashad, which is BPA versus need, right? Do you go with BPA or do you go with the best guy at your biggest need in every round? My answer has always been kind of combination of both, right? Like there's no need to go all in on BPA or go all in on board and needs and whatever. You gotta take a crack at both. I think for you guys this year, I am leaning more on the trade back if it's available way, right? Like I'm going with board, and I would lean towards board with need. But I also think stockpiling this year, would you be willing to move back a handful of times? Maybe you only leave this draft with like 4 or 5 players, but you got like 12 or 13 picks in next year's draft. It is a good defensive draft, not a great offensive draft. Would you be willing to leave this draft with like 4 or 5 players, but you are absolutely loaded with picks for next year if that opportunity presents itself?
No, I'm not okay with that. I think we need guys now. You can't continue to wait and delay the Bryce Young window. We're in year 3, right? So you have to start taking advantage. So I'm cool with trading back for multiple picks in this year's draft. The future, okay, if you grab some, that's fine. But 4 or 5 picks in this draft, to me, would not be acceptable. We have 9 right now. And so I would like to see a little few more than that maybe. But again, the opportunity has to be there. I'm not saying trade back for the sake of trading back. If the opportunity presents itself with your board and you have multiple guys that you're looking at, and I'm not saying trade completely out of the rounds, right? Make sure that you're still able to get the guys that you need based on your board and just continue to stack players. But moving completely out, 4 guys in this draft? No, I can't get with that one.
Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast joins us every Thursday at 8:40 here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Have you heard anything, whether it's from Canales, whether it's Morgan, obviously the combine underway up in Indianapolis right now. We're starting to see the GMs, the presidents, the coaches starting to get in front of the media, in front of the microphones. You heard anything so far from the combine or maybe in the last week since we've talked to you that has triggered anything? Because I've heard a couple of the Canales interviews, heard a couple of the Morgan interviews, and they seem to be playing it relatively close to the vest, which good.
Yeah, I think that, they're not giving away too much, but you have to look a little bit deeper than what they're telling you, Rob. You gotta look at the actions of the team. And a couple of things that have occurred over the past couple of weeks lend me to think that they're going to be doing some things in this draft. Case in point, Dane Jackson was just released. We're letting Shaq Thompson walk. You know, there's a couple of other guys testing the market like Tommy Tremble. And then you hear Canales, you know, talk about Tyler Warren, who was the great tight end in this draft. I'm not saying we're going to take Tyler Warren at 8, but I do think we're going to be taking a tight end somewhere in this draft. And with Shaq walking, you know, there's a lot of talk around Jalen Walker right now and him potentially being the guy. Him being a Carolina guy, all his family being in North Carolina, South Carolina. I think, to me, if you had to make me pick a guy, and that's going to be the Carolina Panthers pick, whether it's eight or trading back, I think it's probably going to be Jalen Walker right now. Way too early, obviously way too early, but Jalen Walker seems to be the guy all signs are pointing to right now in my brain.
I believe, Lonzo, correct me if I'm wrong, that's who Mel Kiper Jr. has y'all taken in his mock right now, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah. So it's on the radar, and I don't have any issue with that. Speaking of Shaq, before we kind of get back to draft talk, that's one of those that, like, man, emotionally it sucks, right? That dude's been a stalwart. He's been a big part of the team. He's been a leader. One of, what, two guys left from the last Super Bowl roster. Like, it hurts to watch a guy like Shaq walk. My man's played six games in 2 years. He's been busted up. The injury bug is vicious at this point. Sometimes, Rashad, we got to take a kick in the nads to remind us this is the business more than anything else. It sucks, but it was the right call.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely sucks, but it certainly was the right call. You know, I commend Canales and Morgan for making this decision, right? Because it is a tough decision. A guy's been around for the Carolina Panthers for a long time, and he's a leader in that locker room too. He's not just a guy. He is a leader on the defensive side of football, and to let him walk was a tough decision. But ultimately, you have to make those type of decisions to move forward and progress the team. You can't just, you know, keep around guys for the sake of keeping around guys. And I said this oftentimes on my channel is, hey, you can't get connected to these guys individually. Like, I like a lot of players on the team. I'm a huge fan of Jalen Coker. But at the end of the day, I got to be okay with them moving on from him because it's a business. It's a business at the end of the day, and you got to move on. You got to do what's best for the team. And, again, shout out to Shaq, man, but he's definitely, hater mode. If he goes to one of those teams, we'll be activated for him. And that's just the name of the game.
Certified hater mode. Certified hater mode coming out. Rashad Beard joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. You mentioned Eddie Pinheiro, Xavier Woods, Tommy Tremble all being allowed to test the market. Is this a cap move decision? Is this a player quality decision? And are there any of those guys that you're kind of hoping maybe they're in the market for him that you want back?
Yeah, that's a great question. Eddie Pinheiro, I think, is a guy that we can move on from. I think he held out a little bit last year trying to get a new contract. So, I mean, his performance is very mid, and he's not he's an okay kicker. Anything inside the 40, he's okay. But when the game is on the line, sometimes he does tend to fold. But, you know, again, Eddie Pinheiro, I can live with that. We can move on from him. Xavier Woods is another guy that I do like. However, I think we can do better. And I think that's what Dan Morgan is sending the signal to. He's like, hey, guys, you guys are solid, but we can do better. And I think that's what we're trying to do here. Tommy Tremble, I really do like. He's a friend of the show. We had him on the show before. He's a guy that has developed year over year over year. His hands were bricks when he first got here. He's got better and better. And so I do hope he stays around. I think he has some untapped potential that we have yet to tap into. He can carry the football. He did it at Notre Dame, fullback, you know, QB sneaks, things like that. He can do that, those type of things. And we just never got around to it. So I would like to see Tommy Tremble back. But I also think, respectfully, we can do better than the Tommy Tremble. So allowing these guys to test the market is the right move. So I'm okay with this. I'm absolutely okay with trying to get better in those positions, especially tight end and safety.
We found out that, and I say we found out, we knew Xavier had to get some work done. We knew it. He said it during the end of the regular season. He did have a surgery. Dave Canales said he does not know if he's going to be back and available for OTAs coming up here. We're 58 days, I think, away from the draft, and then OTAs start just a couple of weeks after that. The only thing I've been saying, Rashad, I don't know where you land on it. Chill the hell out. Like, he needed it. He needed it. I think you could see that it was starting to drag on him a little bit towards the end of the season. You got to go find a number one somewhere. But even if you do, I still want XL fully healthy. Like, relax. Let my man have a minute to rehab and get right. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. I think people got to pump the brakes on XL. It is year one for him. And so we got to pump the brakes. I know people are going out and they're seeing other rookies be successful and they're like, hey, we're stuck with this guy who's often banged up, can't catch the football. But it is year one. It's year one. Give him a little bit of a break. Now, one thing I will say is that what he did get surgery on was his foot. That's not the wrist, right? The wrist was what all the talk was about throughout the entire season, which was impacting his ability to catch the football, allegedly, right? And so what's going on with him? We don't know. But hopefully he got the surgery, and hopefully it'll get better, and we'll see him in OTAs and mini camps and all that stuff, and he'll continue to get better throughout the season.
Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I don't want to bring it up, but I got to. What the hell is your boy Steve Smith Sr. doing? What are we doing, Steve? What are we doing?
None of my business, man. I stay out of players' personal business, bro.
I respect that.
As much as I would like to talk about it, I kind of stay out of that lane. This ain't TMZ, bro. I don't get in those woods.
I respect it. We do, but I respect you not doing it. That's the right play. What's going to be the pick? Call it now. Put it on the radar now. Rashad Beard with the 8th pick, the Carolina Panthers select.
As of right now, and I reserve the right to change my mind, but I'm going Jalen Walker. The guy that is from the Carolinas. You know, that's where I'm sticking with. And he's not going to perform at the combine, so that kind of sucks. He's sitting that one out, and I respect it. After speaking with the agent, I did have the opportunity to interview an NFL agent with Wasserman Group, and that's one of the things that did come up is, you know, advising their clients to say, hey, man, hey, listen, we're good. We don't have to go out there and perform at the combine. And I think that is also one of the check marks in my box to say, hey, the Carolina Panthers are looking at Walker. He's already got it. You know, they've already made the calls. These things are already in the bag. We already know where he's going. There's no need to go out there and run hard and exert too much energy because I already got the call. So that's where I'm rocking with right now, Jalen Walker.
I'm so tired of fans beating up on players who say I'm not working out at the combine. But if you're a top 10 pick, working out at the combine can't help you, right? Like, we've got the tape. We saw you play in college ball. Y'all got to lay off top 10 picks who don't want to work out. I would rather watch the cone shuttle drill of a dude my team's thinking about in the 6th round than the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's a business decision. Those guys, some of those guys don't have to. And the good thing about the combine is that this is the opportunity for other guys. Like you said, these guys that play at smaller schools to get up there and compete on the same level as these big time school guys. And so you'll see some guys that will increase their draft stock in the combine. And that's the dope part about it. And that's what I'm looking for in the combine. Not the top 10 guys. They're already done. They're good. They know where they're going to go. We don't need to see them. It's the other guys I'm worried about.
Cannot wait to go home today and watch a bunch of college dudes run drills. It's going to be one of the best days of the year. Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. It ain't TMZ, baby. They're talking ball every single day on the show. My man, appreciate you as always, big fella. Enjoy the combine.
Hey, man, appreciate that. Yes, it's draft season. Let's get it. I'm excited.
Here. I'm here for it. Rashad Beard, legend. Follow him on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, hit up the YouTube channel. Make sure you are liked up, subscribed up. Hit the bell because I suspect the boys are going to be going live a lot over the next couple of weeks.
For sure. For sure. A lot of content coming.
My guy, Rashad Beard. Now, my guy, Lonzo, with a sports flash.
Ain't your guy. My own guy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Guy.
Okay.
Hey, guy. I'm not your guy, guy.
Sure, whatever.
The Clemson Tiger basketball team will retain their position inside the top 15 with an 83-68 win over Notre Dame last night. Clemson was led by Ian Sheflin's 24 points and 9 boards and Victor Locken's 18 and 5. Jake Heidbreder. That's what I'm going with. Added 14 off the bench. I can't ask Rob because there's no way he can pronounce it. Clemson is... Yeah, whatever. Clemson is on a 5-game win streak with 3 games remaining at the regular season and is 1 game back of Duke with the tiebreaker in hand. Day after Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter stated he wouldn't work out at the draft, a report surfaced saying the potential top 5 pick could need surgery on a stress fracture in his foot, so he's not going to work out at the draft. Tune in, or at the combine. Tune in Saturday at 1:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Wofford Terriers. It's Furman versus Wofford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball.